Hola, señor.
Going upriver. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Indiana Jones Universe, a podcast in which we learn more about the character of Indiana Jones, exploring other content in the Indiana Jones Universe. As always, I'm Will.
And I'm Max.
And thanks for joining us for episode 36, in which today we're going to continue our discussion and exploration of the Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings video game with Level 3 Panama. In this one, Indy goes to Panama, and picking up right where we left off from the last level, San Francisco Chinatown, Indy, of course, rescued his friend Archie Tan and found the Jade Sphere. And this leads him to believe that there was a little bit more to Kingston's disappearance than he was originally led to believe. So Indy decides to travel to Panama, which is where Kingston originally found the Jade Sphere many years ago, and figure out what really happened to Kingston and what the Jade Sphere really actually will lead him to. Indy also comes head-to-head with Magnus Voller again, and we get introduced to a brand new character, Maggie O'Malley, who we will talk about throughout today's episode. And this level definitely has a lot going on. We've got some classic fist fights, Indy one-liners, and a large emphasis on the sort of archaeology and kind of temple exploration and puzzle-solving aspect of the Indiana Jones franchise. So without further ado, let's jump right into the opening scene here of this level.
Yes, so we start off this level with Indy walking out of the jungle onto this boat dock where this guy is just with his parrot swinging in the hammock, and there is this boat, and we see Maggie O'Malley standing next to the boat, and, you know, he walks over to the boat, and Maggie O'Malley is like, "What do you think you're doing?" And he's like, "I need to go upriver." And, you know, him and Maggie kind of have this little confrontation here, basically saying, you know, Maggie's saying, "You can't go on this boat because I have a lot of work to do." And the guy who operates the boat is like, "Same way, I'd take you both, but no argue on boat." And we have the great music of Journey to Akator there by John Williams, which I love. It really puts into the emphasis of just how hilarious this starting off scene is.
Yeah, definitely a very interesting kind of scene to start things off. Very interesting introduction to Maggie O'Malley, who at first just kind of seems like a minor character, especially through the first couple minutes of this level here, and turns out to be a pretty sort of major character towards the end here. And like you said, there's this kind of confrontation between these two, right? Obviously, Maggie needs the boat, and Indy, you know, obviously has to go upriver for some serious archaeology business, and we have this whole sort of idea of, you know, they obviously don't get along at first, and we see that actually right after you know, Indy starts walking up, and we see this bridge, which is super cool, and it obviously is a clear ode to Temple of Doom, obviously, with the bridge there as well. Really kind of cool. And speaking of that, just off of the first cutscene here and throughout the game, I love the sound effects throughout this entire level here. They are really authentic. It really sounds like you're kind of immersed in the jungle here. And even in some of these temple areas as well, just really cool sound effects throughout, especially right when we see the bridge. And going back to what you were saying about that confrontation with Maggie, right, we see how she's a little bit arrogant and snarky at the beginning here as Indy, you know, kind of looks over the bridge and is like, "Uh-oh, should I cross?" And she comes and just kind of pushes his shoulder and walks right across. So that sort of whole idea there as well.
Yeah, she's very, very snarky and arrogant. And I love how she just walks across perfectly fine. And Indy's like he stays behind because he knows something is not right with this bridge. I mean, it looks very, very, you know, flaky and, you know, how, like, not very strong. And as he's walking across, of course, I mean, this is when you first get to control Indy. As you start walking across in the middle, it jumps to a cutscene where the bridge falls and he swings and he cracks his whip just in the nick of time to get onto this ledge. And just as the bridge starts to fall to the bottom of wherever they're crossing, probably a pit of doom.
Right, exactly. And I also love how ironic, I mean, of course, it has to break right as Indy goes across it, of course. And obviously, you know, that goes with the whole sort of Indy characteristics there. And I love, you know, just the classic idea of him whipping across, you know, he goes over to that little ledge as the bridge falls. And One of the things that I do like that we kind of get introduced to right off the bat is we talked about this in, I think, some of the other levels, but the use of the whip in this game is used heavily throughout in the fights, just climbing up different walls, and in this case, swinging across as the bridge falls. So that whole idea is really used well throughout, I think, and I like it because we see him go on this ledge, it's a classic scene there, and then he starts climbing up these rocks as he whips up to the top of this, ledge here and then comes up. And lots of new uses of the whip that we haven't seen before, because we remember the whip from the movies, but of course it has certain uses. It's not something that's throughout the whole movie or anything. It's used in little places, but it's used well enough for us to remember it. Here, the whip is kind of the forefront of what Indy does in this game and how you can control him as you move throughout. And the other cool thing I like about this as well here is there's this little section here where you actually, if you notice, we talked about this, I think, last time. There's these thing called fortune and glory moves. And the fortune is like these little green hats that pop up in which you can like pick up like certain artifacts or whatever. And then the glory moves are like special kind of moves that Indy would do that, also give you special kind of, things in the main menu or whatever, added extras, I guess you could say. And one really cool one is actually if you go to where the bridge snapped, if you go back to that area, you can actually climb down the bridge, and in there is this little like small cave in there in which you find one of the artifacts. Really cool that they added that in there, that if you could kind of search around the area and you climb down, you could find that. Really awesome.
That is really awesome. I did not know that. That's very cool.
And moving on here to this opening scene, we see two guys just kind of chilling over there. And of course, Indy decides to give him a piece of his mind. And we get into a small fist fight here where you have to knock out these two guys. And then you go right through this cave as we get to a cutscene in which there's some other guys who come right behind Indy. And we see a cutscene to Maggie over the top of this, like, lagoon or hill here.
Yes, she's like, oh no, Indy's in trouble, basically. And she pushes these rocks down so that it kind of causes a mini rock avalanche. And, she's like, Indy, watch out. And he starts running as these rocks just crush the guys that are behind him, like nobody's business. So instead of Indy fighting them, it's basically, oh, here's some rocks, have them on your head.
Right, exactly. And there's this whole scene where, of course, like, it was meant to, Maggie was trying to, push that one boulder over, and then it just like triggers this whole like rock landslide. And you also have to control that during the game where, of course, you like have to outrun it and stuff. So really cool there as well. I really like that. And this idea of, Indy running from these physical objects, which is kind of something we've talked about in not only this game, but also in Young Indy and in the movies as well, that these physical objects and forces that are coming after him. And so we then see this next scene in which Indy gets behind a few trees and bushes, and we have this whole sort of long kind of combat thing here where you get take control of the gun as we see this kind of small village that's kind of lit on fire a little bit. There's of course that whole area in which there's the use of the gun there and the revolver, and then of course the classic fist fight, which is pretty extensive and long as you've got a lot of guys you have to fight off in there.
Yes, there is. I mean, there's at least probably 10 guys in this village that is, on fire, right? There's the shootout, and then he has to go and fight the guys by hand. And then we kind of get to a mini boss fight where these two buff guys, who looks like they've been working out since they've been like 10, come up behind them, and they're a lot harder to beat. You can't just, hit them with your head and then they knock out. You spend a decent 2 minutes fighting the guys off.
Right, and this is something that's a little bit interesting about the game as well. Like you can only like actually hit them like when there's like a little bit of a tell, you can only do like a counter attack on them. There's also the objects that you can use throughout the in your surroundings and stuff. And I'm gonna be honest, I found this to be kind of a weird part of the game. I wasn't a huge fan of it. It seemed a little bit kind of odd, the opening here. I mean, you get introduced to Maggie in kind of a weird way, as we'll see how she has a more prevalent part later. And then just this whole kind of opening with this fight, and the graphics were a little weird, and the plot's a little clunky. I don't know. I wasn't a super huge fan of this opening part here. Really, when you actually got inside the temples, that's what I love the most about this sort of game. But of course, it is what it is. You get introduced here. But yeah, kind of an interesting opening to this sort of big fight scene here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's fine. But Indy is not really about fighting as much as it is archaeology. I mean, we do see, you know, we do see Indy in young Indiana Jones fight a lot more than we do him as older Indy, which is what he is in this game. So it's very interesting how he does this. There's a lot more fighting in this game than there is actually in the movie. So, you know, that's something you see a lot. And then after he beats those two buff guys, we move on to where he receives this artifact piece little thing that just looks like it's carved out of wood from one of the natives, and O'Malley is kind of spying on him. And at first, as you'll see later, that wasn't really the case, but I first thought, oh my gosh, O'Malley, you know, she's not really helping Indy. She's, you know, maybe she's part of the Germans or something.
Right, so originally you think, obviously, you're very suspicious of Maggie from the start. You think maybe she's working for Magnus Voller or something's going on here, because we haven't even seen Magnus Voller yet, and Indy, as we heard in the dialogue a little bit earlier, already kind of suspects that Magnus Voller is behind this whole sort of situation that's going on here. So that's kind of interesting as well. And I like this whole idea of Indy, of course, goes on. He gets this kind of cool piece, like you said, that supposedly will fit into this sort of tablet that we see a little bit later. And I like the jungle aspect of this, by the way. As we move throughout, we see all sorts of, you know, trees and stuff, and just really kind of cool that we had this jungle environment. I really liked it. There's another shootout here as well, and then you kind of have to crash through this barrier with these rocks, and you can kind of see how some of the rocks are like falling apart a little bit, and that's where you kind of go through that little area, and that transitions to when Indy's overlooking this huge lagoon, and this leads to another kind of fight here.
Yes, it does. You know, he climbs up and he kind of finds the camp, right? And you know, he fights all these guys, and, you know, he finds this lagoon, right? And, you know, he looks over it, and he climbs along the edge to try and get, in this little cave so he can climb out and over it, which I think is really cool, especially, you know, just inside the cave, you can see the light shining in. I think that the concept art for that was really, really awesome.
Oh, absolutely. The concept art was so cool, especially once we get inside some of these temples. Oh, it's just so awesome. I love looking at it. It just gives you that sort of Indiana Jones feel. Absolutely. And I like this sort of scene here as well. And I noticed a little bit of the, you have these hats that they're wearing, and also the attire as well, reminds me a lot of the sort of costume and attire for Barranca from Raiders. It's very, very similar in that sort of respect, which is kind of interesting. I noticed that a little bit. And you have this huge fight again, which, of course, you have more guys coming all sort of, you know, all over the place where, you know, Indy finds this little camp area. And this also leads to a shootout. And, you know, one thing I wanted to mention about this is I like that you have this kind of dual part of the fight here. You first kind of fight them by hand, you know, with your fists and all that stuff you learned in the game with the whip, and then you transition into the sort of gun shootout as well. I like that they have both in there, which is cool. I mean, you don't really see the revolver almost at all in the entire movies. It's kind of an added part to the game, I guess, just for gameplay purposes. But I think it's actually kind of fun and adds to a little bit of a different sort of style of indie that we haven't really seen before.
Right. I mean, really the only time we see the revolver is in Raiders when he's supposed to do this big fight scene with the sword guy and just, you know, takes out the revolver and shoots him instead.
Right, exactly.
Is that the only time that he uses it in the movies?
You know, you bring up a good point because I'm trying to think of now another point in which there might be another point. Nothing at least that I think is as iconic as that or as you know, noticeable. I know that, of course, in Temple of Doom, he tries to use the revolver as kind of an homage to that, I think. But I don't think he actually uses it any... Yeah, I think that's about it in terms of how much he uses it. Of course, there's tanks and planes, and there's that one scene in which, of course, he, like, steals a gun from one of the Nazis and uses that. But in terms of his actual revolver, I think that might be one of the only times at all, if even, yeah. So kind of interesting there.
That is really interesting because I think, you know, it's used a lot more in this game. And, I mean, as I mentioned, that there is a lot more fighting in this game, but just the different, you know, he uses a lot of hand fights and he also uses the revolver. And I think that they do a good mix of that. And that really, you know, makes this game interesting and, you know, kind of keeps you on your toes as you're playing it.
Definitely. I completely agree. And I also loved the perspective there where there was that huge lagoon and like small pond and you have all of those guys all the way on the top bar there and Indy's down here just hiding behind like these two crates. And so that was kind of cool that you had that shootout there. And so Then, of course, you get to climb up this cave. You whip across the bridge, and we see this awesome pyramid here as we get to kind of what I like to call the end of part one, I guess you could say, where we have the boss fight with Sudo here. And this is kind of interesting as well, as we do kind of have a similar situation to Raiders here, where he tries to pull out the gun and shoot him instead.
Right, you know, he pulls it out, and he's like, it just goes click, and he's like, oh, crap, you know, I'm gonna have to fight this guy that can throw fire at me with my bare hands.
Right, and one thing I wanted to mention about that is I know that, of course, there's that scene in Raiders, of course, where with the swordsman, and he just shoots him. That, to me, was a little bit more, I guess it went with Indy's personality, because, you know, it was kind of Indy, of course, at that point was just like, you know what, I'm just going to shoot him by this point. You know, I've been searching, I've been going all around the marketplace now. Whereas this, I felt like it was more him relying on his revolver than just kind of, you know, doing it out of like, you know, I guess out of, I don't really know how to describe this, I guess, but like, it's just, this felt a little bit different. And I didn't like that he, in this cutscene, almost felt like he had to rely on the revolver in this case, because I think it was the Raiders one was more of kind of circumstantial in terms of him using the gun in that sort of case. And, you know, it's funny, you laugh to it. Whereas here, you know, he just grabs the gun, just kind of, you know, using what he has. And I don't really think that really goes with Indy. So I didn't like that. Not that it's really that important in the game, but just something I noticed. And you transition into, of course, this huge boss fight. Really cool idea for the boss here, as he can, like, throw fire. He has these torches and this interesting potion that we see him drink or whatever. Kind of a cool idea, as then he lights this whole kind of circle around with fire.
Yeah, and I can't remember what movie it's from. It's either from Temple of Doom or Last Crusade, where he's fighting the guy in the plane that's near the plane who gets chopped up by the plane. What movie is that from?
Are you talking about the opening of Last Crusade with Kazim and like the escape from Venice when they're in the boat?
Not in the boat. It's the guy where he has this plane, and you know, he, as Indy is fighting him, he gets
Oh, you're talking about Raiders, the fist
yeah.
fight.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. It is from Raiders. Okay, I was right. That kind of what it reminds me of, you know, it has this stone ring that just lights on fire, except you know, this guy is in Raiders, the guy is in the ring and he fights him, and this is kind of almost the same thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. That's a cool idea. I didn't actually notice that. That's interesting. Yeah, so, because remember, they fight in that sort of, like, small circle there, because the plane is, or the flying wing is obviously turning around. Yeah, interesting. And I like also, kind of interesting in terms of how you have to fight this guy. You have to, like, basically, like, run around the circle, because if you just stand there and move around, if you can't get too close to him, because he'll just, you know, use the fire on you, and the whip doesn't seem to work either. And so what you have to do is basically run around the circle, right? Because if you notice, he kind of times it perfectly in terms of when he uses the fire. And so once he, you know, has to drink the potion or whatever, then you can get up close to him and give him a whip and then just give him a right hook, you know? And so you have to do this like 3 or 4 times until you actually defeat him. So that was kind of cool. I like just something brand new. You kind of had to run around this circle. I mean, you really didn't have a lot of room to maneuver around. So I liked that a lot.
Yeah, so did I. I mean, I just, the game mechanics, especially for fighting in this game, are really, really good in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting and gives you a new sort of indie aspect, I guess, in terms of this new sort of villain that he fights. And that one last punch that we see in the cutscene as the fire goes towards this like box of like dynamite back there and just blows up like the entire front entrance of the temple there. And that's kind of the climactic ending, I guess you could say, to that fight there as we move into kind of the second half, really, of the next level here.
Yes, and, you know, indie, something I've found interesting, and I don't know if this is like, what do you call it, like a goof or not, but as you see the front of the temple fall, you see a bunch of sunlight shining through, right? And then you start off the next part where he's just inside the temple.
Yeah, I was wondering about that as well. I did kind of actually notice that as well. Like, what happened there? I maybe there was just a cutscene in which he, like, went to the temple or something. But yeah, I did also notice that as well. It was just, like, that weird kind of opening with sunlight, and then all of a sudden he's in this room. That was a little bit odd.
Right. You know, when I first played this, when that blew up, you know, I was like, oh, that was a fake temple. But no, he's just ends up in the temple. I'm like, wait, what?
Right, yeah, it was kind of interesting. You really actually, it does kind of feel like the end of the level a little bit right there, especially since you don't know that you're going to the temple next. But we move in here, and We see him kind of fit the piece on the statue, right? We see this kind of like little tablet here that he puts it in. And by the way, just going back to what I was saying earlier, the sound effects from here on out are just absolutely amazing. I mean, there are just some great sound effects with this whole jungle environment and even in the temples themselves, right? Because think about it, of course, they're still quote unquote, I mean, you know, I guess outside, quote unquote, in terms of that sort of aspect. So, you know, he's not just in a temple and there's just absolutely no sound at all. So I like that sort of aspect of it. They just did such a great job. And the concept art here just gets better and better as we go through the game. There's some really cool parts here as we really kind of transition into the archaeology and temple exploration aspect of the game, which I'll talk about at the end of the episode once we finish here. But I wanted to really focus on that because it's really kind of fun and interesting and kind of something new that we don't do a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's definitely something we don't do a whole lot. And something I love about especially this scene here is when he puts it down, the water starts flowing out into all these four things. And then you just see this huge kind of cave thing going down, open up, which I think is super duper cool. Like the cool mechanism and just the game mechanics on how that works. I think that's super duper awesome.
Yeah, I completely agree. I loved it too. You just had this opening of this door. We'll see all these sort of trap doors and like cool things and that are part of the temple as you see that water rush through when you go down. And you see this door, which of course is just a huge trap, just like in the movies. He goes through and then the door just closes on him. So, you know, a classic. Of course, I like that as well. So now he's trapped inside the temple, and we move into this next section, which actually happens a few times throughout this level, in which you have to kind of move these boulders to kind of maneuver these swinging like stone heads. Kind of interesting.
Right, yeah, it's very interesting. You know, he picks up the boulder and, you know, he puts it on the other ledge of the other waterfall, and I'm like, well, we don't see them move at all, so I find it very, very interesting how that works or whatever, but it would be super cool to, you know, explore a temple like that at some point.
Absolutely, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, just kind of the puzzles you have to do in this game, and we'll see a lot of that, and of course, you can whip the actual stone heads, and they knock in like a you know, three lines there, and then it, you know, crashes right into kind of the entrance of the door there, and you can walk right in. And so then we have a great piece of music, by the way, from Young Indiana Jones, of course, Assault on Gaza, as we see we open up into this huge sort of area inside the temple with this really cool sort of like kind of face at the front, I guess, with we see all these guys come down, and there's this whole ledge here. And of course, we have the quote that Indy says there, Germans. Why does it have to be Germans? And so a classic point right there. And you have this whole shootout again as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just that shootout. And I love the Germans quote because, you know, that's just super duper awesome, especially because, you know, it's just super duper, you know, weird. Like, Indy never really mentions that it's Germans until now. I mean, we obviously know Magnus Fowler is part of the Germans, but the Germans are just dropping in, and he's like, Germans, why did it have to be Germans? And, you know, then it kind of comes with this whole shootout, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, and you're right, actually. We haven't really been introduced to Magnus Fowler in this level yet. We've just kind of assumed that maybe he was behind all this or whatever. And meanwhile, you know, you're obviously going, Indy's going through all sorts of these temples and stuff, and you think it's just, oh, you know, he's going through it, you know, no problem. There's no villain on his tail. So that's an interesting point, actually, that I kind of wanted to bring up now that I was thinking about this, is we really don't have any sort of villain or anyone really sort of on Indy's tail kind of fighting with him really throughout this entire level here, really that much. It's really focused on Indy and kind of, you know, finding all the stuff on his own, which was really awesome. And like you said, we have this great huge area. The temple collapses when you kind of shoot at it there, as there's this whole shootout. And really kind of, again, cool area here as well, as you have this really cool shootout. And I like also as well, the sound editors and, you know, people who were in charge of the music for this game did something that I am such a huge fan of in terms of how they use the music in this game. And what they did is, after a lot of these fights, after you would defeat these guys, you'd have this 3-second indie motif from one of the John Williams tracks. And I love how they do that, especially here. He's crouched down, you shoot the last guy, you stand up, and it's like dun 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 dun, and then, you know, that's it, and you move on to the next one. And I like how they threw in those quick indie motifs there to give us that heroic sort of feeling. I love that.
Yeah, that is really awesome. They do use a lot of John Williams music in these games, even if it's just quick 3 seconds or a quick 4 seconds of it. And I think that just really, adds to the indie style kind of adventure that we're getting here. And something I also wanted to mention after he fights the Germans here, there is a lot of ledge climbing in this level. There, he climbs on a lot of ledges throughout this episode, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of using the whip to climb up or whip onto things. And again, a lot of these physical objects that are, kind of throughout the game here, like you said, you climb on these different ledges, you hop down from here, you go to there, a lot of that sort of stuff, which I really liked. It, I guess, was sort of added to the game and not something we really see much in the movies at all. And like you said, we have this whole sort of, I like how all of these, this temple definitely feels old, right? You've got the vine-covered walls, right? You've got some of the levels on the platform missing, so you have to whip across and to get there. So really that whole sort of epic feel that you're getting from this, I love it. As you can also turn around and look at that whole sort of area that's in there, which is really cool. I love how it's this big open area of this temple here. Really awesome. And also something I noticed specifically in this part, you'll notice that Indy's sleeve is actually chopped off, which is a bit of a reference to Temple of Doom when that happens as well. Love that they added that in there.
Oh, I actually did not notice that. That's very interesting. When does that happen again?
I don't actually know when it happens, and I actually didn't pay attention to it. I think he has both sleeves at the beginning, but once you jump right into the temple, I think right after the fight, the boss fight there, I think he didn't have the sleeve there. I only noticed it right after the shootout that we were just talking about. But I thought that was awesome because that does happen in Temple of Doom, and they mention that here. Really awesome.
That is awesome. That's very, very interesting. That's awesome. And another thing I wanted to mention right after the boss fight is that the water in this level plays such a big part. Like there are these big, huge, smashing pistons that kind of are powered by the water, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, there's these huge like blocks and like just barricades that again like kind of go with the water here as they you have to time it perfectly in order to sprint across and that sort of thing. You get another sort of fist fight here. And also another cool spot for one of these like I guess fortune artifacts or whatever. If you go closer to this edge of the wall here, you can actually whip up and go in sort of this new little cave area, and you can get another fortune sort of artifact there, which is cool. I like that they added that in there as well. And I also like how you're climbing up the wall. I like that as well, where you can whip on top and you can climb up the wall. That's really awesome. I'm a huge fan of that. And then meanwhile, to get out of the wall, he just knocks it, just flies through the other end of the wall as he knocks back. So I thought that was awesome too.
That is really cool. I love how, just the artifacts in this game are awesome. Like those little fortune things, they're so cool. Like they don't really have anything relating to the actual gameplay as much as just, if you take the time and you want to explore a little more, like a real indie or true indie archaeologist, then you can find those things.
Right, exactly. And speaking of that, I love all of these Mayan ruins that are here that just are awesome. I mean, you have just these authentic sort of temples. I mean, this feels like Indiana Jones when you're going through this. You have these small secret caverns and then these huge sort of grand rooms with super, super tall ceilings. So just kind of the atmospheric sense of this game really, I think, was done well, especially in this level, and I liked it a lot because it gave you that sense of exploration, especially as we transition into this next room, which was this kind of tree room with four different sort of areas you could go into, and there was four different doors as this you had this tree in the middle with this kind of circular sort of level in which you could walk on, and so each room had a different you had to get to the end and then escape the traps in order to get the fourth door unlocked to move on. Really kind of cool there as well.
Yes, that is very interesting. And actually, I believe there are 5 doors. You go through all four, and then the fourth door, once you escape that, it opens the fifth door, and you're able to go in and actually go up and escape the temple into your next room.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. And I also like as well, too, each room had kind of like a different little kind of small theme you had to do. So the first room, you had to get to the other end and slide back across the ledge without getting hit by the spikes, right? So then the one, section of the door opens. Then
Yeah.
The second one you have to opens, and you have this long hall with all these falling blocks. And then if you get past that, the door opens. And then you have to, the next room, there's these ideas of escaping the traps. There's, you know, I think there was the you know, torches with the spiders and that sort of whole thing. So really, really awesome that they did that. And I like as well just the traps that they added there. The concept art is just incredible, especially as you have these different sort of things that you have to do. And I loved it. It's kind of that idea of it's easy to get in, but it's not necessarily easy to get out. And so adding to that whole sort of idea of, you know, the traps, especially from the opening of Raiders, we remember that sort of stuff. Awesome.
Yeah, speaking of the concept art, that with the Fortune and Glory moves that and completing some of the levels, that's actually something you can unlock on the extras menu. You can, you know, unlock looking at all the concept art, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, so well done. I love that. It's really awesome to just, you know, take a grand look at this amazing concept art for this indie adventure here. And that transitions, once you get through past those three, the next door opens in which you go into this next room. Which has more stone heads and more boulders. And for those music enthusiasts, there's a really cool music arrangement of, I think it's 5 tracks from Raiders and Last Crusade that they like blended together. It's really cool. They have like these combinations of all sorts of tracks from the movies that they like edited together for the specific arrangement. And it sounds super cool. I like it a lot.
That's really awesome. I did not know that. Interesting to know. That's really cool. And I love when they finally, you know, finds the pressure plate that opens the final door in the tree room.
Yeah, definitely. It does definitely, I think, have that sort of detailed and, I mean, they definitely spent a lot of time in terms of the music, the sound effects, all adding to that atmospheric idea of indie in these temples. And especially that next room, too, was really cool. You know, you took the statue and you put it under the block. And then, of course, that, like, chopped off a little bit of it. You carry that, you put it on the ledge, and then once some of them stop, you have to escape the blocks, and then you can whip them to open the doors. And there was also another secret room in there, which if you noticed, there was a little bit of light coming out of some of those blocks. There was another fortune artifact in there, which you could go and get. And then, of course, the main door, which you would unlock there as you climbed up all those steps. And there's this huge opening room, the ball court from the Mayan underworld. Just super, super awesome as well. I just love this next sort of kind of part of the scene of the level here.
Yeah, that is super awesome. Especially, you know, just everything in this game is so amazing. I'm sorry, I'm gonna rant a little here, but just the concept art, I keep saying the concept art, the sound effects, the music, everything in this game comes together to make an awesome indie adventure.
It does. I mean, one of the things that I love about this game so much is that it's so story driven. I mean, we are talking about this and reviewing this game as if it's a young indie episode or as if it's an indie movie. That's how the game works. It's so story driven in the fact that I think one of the things that I love about Indiana Jones so much and that I've experienced in these last few years of getting into the expanded universe as one of my hobbies is that the real power of Indiana Jones is not always necessarily the movies, but more the storytelling. Just all these sorts of different adventures that he can have. And we see that especially in young Indiana Jones with all sorts of great stories and cool stuff. And that is no exception for the comics and the games here. Just the art of the storytelling of it is what I think gives you those endless possibilities of just these great adventures that sort of style that George Lucas created in Raiders has gone on to give us so many other great stories in the expanded universe. So I completely agree with you. This adds to that whole idea.
That is, yeah, it just adds to this idea, like, you can just, there's so much, just when you think the Indian universe is over and you've seen everything in Indiana Jones, you haven't, there's always more to explore.
Absolutely, I think you're exactly right, and speaking of that, I love this next section here of the game, which is awesome. The ball court from the Mayan underworld, and I've actually been to a ruin like this in Mexico and seen something a little bit similar, actually. I didn't see the whole ruin that was there, but I did see the top of the court. So there's, of course, the large boulders and then those small, like, golden balls that we see that you can pick up in your hand and throw into those hoops. Those hoops were actually there, and I saw a little bit of the ball court that they kind of were digging up there. It was absolutely awesome. Of course, Indy came to my mind originally right then and there, but I did see something a little bit similar to this. So, I mean, definitely, I mean, it's authentic, the idea that this is some real stuff, this ball court from the Mayan underworld. It's a real thing, and we hear the quotes that he says, too, that are kind of that idea of the real archaeology that he talks about, and You know, it's you hear that sort of rumble as well as you throughout the game, and you play this interesting game, which actually is really cool.
It is. It's really awesome. You have to, you know, push these 7 leaders to get all of these balls kind of rolling around, you know, trying. I don't know what they're trying. I think they're trying to crush the person who's trying to open the next door. And in the, you know, he grabs this golden bell ball thing, hits the hoop, but he's like, uh-oh, it must be the other hoop. So then he has to avoid all the balls running to the other side of the court, and he hits it, and it turns and opens this door. And all the things that are in the middle of these courts, I don't know what they are, stop spinning. And then the door opens and to this next kind of room.
Yeah, it was super cool, especially like the idea of playing this sort of game here. I mean, like, you obviously have to step on and press all these like pressure plates there, and you have all, like you said, these boulders that are just moving around all over the place, and you somehow have to, you know, maneuver, because each time you open one, that adds another level of difficulty to get to the end. But of course, you have to, it's kind of weird because you're adding the level of difficulty on your own. Yet you have to do that in order to get the door open. So that's cool. And I like as well how he throws the, you know, ball and you have to hit it right through the hoop and at the top there. And then, of course, it opens the door and all of the boulders stop spinning. And like you said, there was those like cool like blade plates, I think, or something there. This leads to the next section of the level here, which was really cool as you had to kind of climb outside in this mountain and jungle sort of forest area. How awesome.
It is really awesome. And he's like, the view looks great from up here, he says.
Right.
Which I think is really cool, you know, as he looks over on the horizon and just sees kind of all these Mayan artifacts and ruins. And it's just so cool. Now, something I actually wondered about this is, do you know when this game actually like takes place? Like what type of year span?
Yeah, it's directly after Last Crusade in 1939. I don't know what, if there's like a specific month to it or not, I'd have to check. I think it's just directly after Last Crusade in terms of 1939, we're moving on to the next one here. So kind of interesting there.
That is very interesting. That's awesome. And, you know, I love how he has to kind of go through this little series of climbing up and, you know, going down up all these rocks to go into his next room, which is really, really cool, especially, you know, trying to avoid these waterfalls and just all these, you know, falling rocks and stuff like that is really, really cool.
Yeah, I love the jungle atmosphere of this. I mean, you're sneaking around, you're climbing on all sorts of stuff. You see these vines with monkeys and stuff, which actually gave me a huge flashback to that pretty bad scene in Crystal Skull when you see Mutt like on the vines, like swinging with the monkeys, just like a complete CGI scene. It was a mess.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was kind of a flashback to that. It was just kind of a funny scene. I don't know what they were thinking there, but that was just kind of a weird scene from Crystal Skull that I remembered when I was thinking about this. But I do like the jungle atmosphere, you know, the hidden artifact. And there's that really small entrance that you almost can't like pick out when you're originally going through it. You really kind of have to go all over the place because you can also, you know, pick up a hidden artifact in there as well. So you really have to kind of dig for that. And there's a funny quote there that I love that he says. He says, "This is pretty shabby as far as dungeons go. Might even be worse than my office." Which I thought was hilarious. It's a classic.
Right, because we don't... I mean, well, actually, we do see Indy's office in this game because it's the main home screen. And, I guess his office is... his office looks very rustic. It's not as bad as the dungeon, though.
Right, yeah. I don't think we actually see his office in any of the movies because we see his classroom, but I don't... I think there may be one scene in which we just barely see his office, but I don't think we actually see anything as elaborate as it is in the main menu. And of course, that was, I think, just drawn up for some cool concept art. I don't think that's actually what it's supposed to look like. But it's still cool. And so you get back to this whole idea of going through these small kind of caverns and then opening up into these huge rooms as you have to whip across yet again. And just the archaeology of this, I mean, you're just going through, you see all these vines, again, the sound effects, all that is still prevalent here, which I love. And you move to this next scene, which I thought was an awesome idea. Now you're actually on the second level, like way above the ball court, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, that is really awesome. You know, you're on this, right? You just barely see it. You have to be very, very attentive, but you just barely see below the ball court. And, you know, he goes across and this bridge breaks and he's like, I need to find some kind of bridge, right? Which is really, really cool.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of that, what I found funny about this is, like you said, of course, he's on the top and you can see, you know, the ball court under, which is super awesome. And we see this like huge like pillar, I guess, that was, I guess, served as some sort of bridge or something. And I mean, I love this part here. He just uses the whip as a cement pillar and just stomps his feet and the entire thing goes down. I'm not sure about that. That was a little bit unrealistic there, which I found to be hilarious. He just whips it. You know, knocks it with his feet a little bit, and the entire structure just goes down and comes as a bridge. Of course, obviously that had to work. It's Indiana Jones. I mean, just hilarious there.
I mean, that it kind of goes back to the beginning of this level where, you know, once he fights all the Germans in the camp, he just breaks down this brick wall with his hands by pushing it.
Right.
Now, that's not as unrealistic as he does push out the brick and Raiders, but still.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. I just thought that was funny, though. Like, you could just, like, this huge cement pillar that was there. And I love that shot, though, in the cutscene where you can see, like, the sun peeping through the top of the ball court and you can see that moving down. And that was cool. So you get to the other side and you now move into this area where he lights the torch. And this was actually, like, basically a mirror scene to the first level, Sudan, in which you had to kind of light these like old sort of like walls that I guess were like of spider webs and stuff. And there was all these spiders coming down and you get to this room where you have to light each column of fire on either side of the room. Awesome scene here as well.
Yeah. Now, something I wanted to mention is that if you look, it kind of looks like they're scorpions and not so much spiders.
Yeah, kind of interesting there. I like as well also how they added that aspect to the game, kind of the idea of the torch and the spiders. I like that a lot personally. It just kind of added some sort of something new to kind of, you know, spice things up a little bit. And I love this next scene here, which is literally out of a fantasy movie. I mean, it's a classic dungeon with these dragons that, of course, spit out this fire when you pass. And you've got a great piece of music, by the way, for music enthusiasts out there yet again. The Aerial Pursuit track from Young Indiana Jones Verdun 1916, as you have to go across this long hall in the dungeon, dodge the dragons that breathe the fire, whip across, and just barely sneak into the door at the nick of time. That was awesome. I love that they added that. Super, super cool.
That is cool, you know, and he does the classic thing where he grabs his hat.
Right, exactly. Oh, just a classic. I love that they had to add that, just that little suspense part of it as you run across. I mean, very kind of indie move there.
Yes, it is very, very awesome, and I just love that.
Yeah, definitely. And we now transition into the last scene, which involves Indy going up hundreds of flights of stairs, which I found was kind of funny, actually, and kind of cool. They had that huge staircase that leads up to now this next kind of area, which is this Mayan astronomy room, which was really interesting, as we have this scene here in which Indy has the jade sphere and kind of puts it in its, you know, like little, I guess, pedestal. And one thing that was interesting right before this is Maggie shows up. And we see Maggie show up as Indy find Kingston's notebook, which, like you said, looks very similar to Indy's. And Maggie all of a sudden shows up. And at first we think she's kind of a villain because, you know, there was that kind of suspicious part at the beginning. And then Indy's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'd ask you the same thing. And so it turns out she was kind of following Indy basically the whole time. And this is the first kind of like, I guess, real cutscene, quote unquote, that we have in this, you know, very sort of, I guess, free play oriented level here, as he realizes he's found clues to the Staff of Kings. And keep in mind, throughout the entire game, Indy has no idea that this is leading to the Staff of Kings yet, because he has the Jade Sphere, he's looking for Professor Kingston. He has no idea at this point that this is going to lead to the Staff of Kings, so this is kind of a huge discovery as well. And then Maggie gets trapped right then the boulders start moving around there.
And then Magnus shows up, and, you know, him and Indy kind of are there talking about the Kingston's notebook, and, you know, Magnus and him have a bit of a laugh, and then Magnus is like, the notebook, give it to me, Jones. And Indy is kind of, you know, putting his hands up, and he just narrowly escapes to where Maggie is right as the door closes.
Yeah, great scene there, as, you know, he does a clever Indy move, right, and steps on the, you know, bottom of the like plate there that sinks into the ground a little bit. The boulder moves and he just barely escapes behind them and gets under the door just again. And yeah, so that was the first appearance we really had from Magnus Voller since the last level. And so, of course, Magnus Voller had been following him for years now. And so Now we get introduced to Maggie a little bit, and she convinces Indy to let her come with her or come with him to Istanbul. And she's like, off to Istanbul, are we? And he's like, what do you mean, we? And so, you know, they have that whole sort of confrontation there. And we realize that Maggie is now going to be kind of working with Indy as we get on a cliffhanger there that leads to the next level of Istanbul. And that kind of wraps up Panama there with that last interesting scene here. So final thoughts on the Panama level. What do we think?
I love this level personally, mainly because of all the combat, the concept art, the sound effects, the music, just everything in this level, especially the little details, really come together to make this an overall great level.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. I really like this level a lot. I wasn't super big on the first half of this with Indy and, you know, kind of in the jungle. I felt it was a little bit odd and not the best way to introduce the story. And then that boss fight to get into the temple. I wasn't a huge fan of that. But once you get into the temples and do all that exploration, I completely agree with you. Everything I think was so well done. It feels like an Indiana Jones adventure. And one thing I wanted to mention about this as well is one of the things that I think is interesting is both of us found that I think this felt like an Indiana Jones adventure. But if you really think about it, this sort of extensive gameplay of archaeology and temple exploration and looking at these Mayan ruins, we think of that as associated with Indiana Jones, but think about the original three movies. This doesn't actually happen that much to the same extent. And I find that the movies are so interesting because they use archaeology and incorporate it into the story in such a peculiar yet intriguing way that we don't actually have like a lot of archaeology in the movies. Yet when we think of Indiana Jones, this level of the game is what we think of. Yet ironically enough, it isn't actually included in the movies that way, which I kind of thought was interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. You know, a lot of the combat isn't included in the movies. It's included in here, and that really makes kind of separates the movies from this. I mean, this does take place after Last Crusade, so I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. But did you like the fact that they added a little bit more of the emphasis on Indy sort of exploring the puzzle solving? Because there was a lot of that here, especially when he's going through all these temples and stuff.
I personally like it. I think they could have made it a little bit better by, like, you know, putting a bit more artifacts and stuff that he had to use to get into all these rooms. But I still think it was really, really good in how they incorporated it in there.
Definitely felt like Indiana Jones for sure, even if, you know, it's not as extensively used in the movies. So that's definitely something interesting, I think, that was included there. So, yeah, and in terms of this level and kind of moving on, this level, I think, at least fell off a little bit for me in terms of the story aspect of it. Of course, Sudan and Chinatown were very sort of story-driven. This had a little bit more kind of do-your-own exploration and stuff, which I guess was kind of why this felt a little bit different in that sort of sense. But still a lot of story-driven stuff, and that's, I think, interesting in that sort of respect, too. So, yeah, I think that about concludes our review of Level 3 here, Panama. We have three levels left to go here, which we'll definitely be looking at in the next couple of weeks. Thanks again for joining us, and if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and so many other podcast platforms. We publish episodes pretty regularly on a variety of Expanded Universe indie topics. If you want to learn more about the podcast, be sure to visit our website at www.theindianajonesuniverse.com. We have all of our podcast episodes listed there for your listening convenience, as well as a great links page with expanded content about Indiana Jones as well. And finally, to stay up to date on news and announcements and be part of the indie community here, make sure to like us and follow us over on our Facebook page. You can find us there at the Indiana Jones Universe Podcast. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Once again, I'm Max.
And I'm Will.
And until next time,
so long, Dr. Jones.